Well, ministry has been a constant theme in their lives, and it was a particular ministry, that of embryo adoption, that really transformed their lives in a beautiful way and made them parents. Today, we're going to hear the story of Mike and Naomi Vesey, one of our wonderful NEDC couples. I'm Mark Bellinger. This is the Embryo Adoption Podcast, brought to you by the National Embryo Donation Center. You can find out more about us by going to embryodonation.org. Again, embryodonation.org. I'm so glad that you two are here. It's a great story. And if I'm right, your story started all the way back when you were kids, right?
Yeah, that's right. Naomi and I were neighbors when we were about 2 and 3 years old. Our parents lived next to each other in a duplex house. And our parents were friends. And so growing up, we knew each other.
Yeah, our parents were friends as singles, but married other people. So we were kind of destined to be friends.
So take me from there to like getting married and trying to start a family. And I know it's tough to do that in a short span of time, but when did you know there might be something there for the two of you? And then when did you think, okay, time to start a family?
Well, we actually didn't grow up together. My family went overseas as church planters in Turkey. And so we came back to the States when I was 15. Naomi and I went to the same church for a little while. It was my parents' sending church. And so we were in youth group together through high school.
We had stayed in touch and, you know, like had just kind of this kind of ongoing friendship while they were overseas. So that was neat. And then they came home when y'all were in high school, when you were in high school.
Yeah. And then we didn't start dating until we both had graduated high school. We started dating in college. We were long distance for 2 years at two different colleges. Mm-hmm. I went to Geneva College and then we went to Calvin University for 2 years and then eventually transferred to Geneva where we graduated together. Got engaged our senior year and got married right after that.
Yeah.
And moved to Houston, Texas, where I accepted a job as a math teacher. Taught there for 6 years. And then we moved back to Lancaster, Pennsylvania last summer. And
so we were, when we moved down there, we were, you know, finished with college, but we were paying off loans. So we were thinking, okay, we'll take a couple years and focus on that. But we were both, we have always loved kids our whole life. So we were both super eager to start a family. We were both always kind of known as like the babysitters, like Michael in Turkey was kind of known as that. And I was known as that here. So I remember when we got married, there were just like so many jokes about how many kids we were going to have. And like, people were like, you two are like the best at watching other people's kids. We can't wait for you to have your own. So anyway, it's just interesting now to reflect back on our story and just reflect that was like a really big desire for us. And also what everyone else thought, we would have tons of kids.
Yeah. I think we were kind of aiming to be married for like 2 years before trying to start to have a family. We ended up being married for 6 years before our boys were born. So it was not quite how we wanted it to go.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, you run into this not at all uncommon issue of infertility. So when this wrench, if you will, is thrown into the works, how soon is it before you find out about embryo adoption and start really considering that? Or was it something you already knew about, but thought, okay, well, maybe this is a route we should consider?
So no, we had never heard of it before. And so it was a couple years into marriage when we were starting to think more about like, okay, let's actually move forward with trying to start a family. And our story, it seems from what we're hearing from other people and what we have heard, our story kind of took a sharp turn right away because we got kind of the lack of a diagnosis, I guess. It wasn't really a diagnosis, the lack thereof. Early on when we started asking doctors if there might be something going on. So instead of like kind of the common, you know, oh, we're not seeing anything, you know, just keep trying, that can send, I think, couples into years of trying, we kind of got like a hard stop. when Michael got some test results back. So all of a sudden we were, I don't know if you want to say anything about that.
I just found out that, you know, I had fertility issues. And so it just wasn't likely that we were going to have our own children biologically. The doctor did say that IVF was an option if we wanted to pursue that. But through a lot of conversation and just thinking about it, we weren't so sure we wanted to pursue that just because we're aware of some of the problems that come along with it, like a bunch of leftover embryos, which the NEDC is amazingly trying to redeem that aspect of it. As well as just that we knew that financially it would just be extremely expensive. But I think even had we had the finances for it, we just decided we weren't going to go that route. So we were open to other options. And then let Naomi tell the rest.
Yeah. So, Michael got some test results back, which we were not expecting, ended up having surgery. The doctors were like super hopeful that they could, you know, help us. So long story short, we went through several steps, but then ended up back at the doctor and, you know, he just looked at us and he was like, you guys are young. We think you're great candidates for IVF. We can start you on that process today. And it's just interesting because we both just felt this gut feeling like that just wasn't it for us. And I felt guilty thinking that because I knew how much Michael especially wanted children of our own. We were interested in adoption. We'd already been talking about it. But I remember you specifically, you just really wanted to fight for and try for having children first biologically. Anyway, so we both just went home. Like they were like, all right, so call us back and we'll start you on the IVF path. And we just needed to pray about it. I just felt this gut feeling like, no, I don't feel right about that. It's not sitting well with me. I think a big part of that was knowing that adoption is such a great way that God can join families with infertility with children who need parents. And so we were thinking more traditional adoption. When all of a sudden my sister-in-law, Michael's sister-in-law, texted me this article that she'd found online. She didn't even know that we had had this conversation with the doctor. So really, I mean, just all praise to God. He just started putting puzzle pieces in. And so we had this really crazy experience that summer. This is now like 4 years into marriage. It's after surgery and everything. Our sister-in-law texted us this article and she was like, hey, have you ever heard about snowflake adoption? And it was from y'all's website. And we had never heard of it. And so that was just the beginning of trying to wrap our brains around what on earth this thing was. But here's the crazy thing. God just kept putting it in front of us. We weren't sure what we were going to do. We were also worried about the cost. Do you want to share the story about God's provision that way?
I was a school teacher and Naomi worked at our church part-time. And so we were very blessed financially. But we were also paying back student loans. So we were just
double,
we were working really hard to get out of debt, and by God's grace, we were able to. And so I probably wouldn't have made, even in hindsight, I don't even know if we would have done embryo adoption had friends of ours kind of just took us out and just said, hey, we've been individually, we felt like the Lord was telling us that he wanted us to give you some money for whatever it is that is required for you guys to have kids. And so they gave us a very generous sum of money just randomly and said, this is for you to one day hold your baby in your arms. And we, at that time, I don't even know if we actually were considering embryo adoption quite yet.
Yeah, it was like the same couple months.
We didn't know what we would use this money for.
No.
Like it was enough to do international adoption, I guess. You know, we didn't pursue that all the way to know how much that would cost, but it was not a small amount. They were just like, the condition is you just put this aside and it's used, to pay for whatever it takes to have a baby. And
yeah.
And so it was just amazing that God was just opening the doors and making it possible, as well as then putting embryo adoption in our path.
What was your reaction when they gave you that amazing and unexpected gift? Just tell me what was going through your mind.
Well, here's the funny thing. We had recently had a conversation about money with IVF in mind and student debt and some other things. And I had said some silly comment to Michael, which I think we all think, but like maybe we're afraid to say it. I said, well, we need to figure something out because it's not like God's just going to drop a check in our lap. I literally said that, Mark. And it was, I don't know how much later.
Yeah,
it was that much later that this couple handed us a check and said, this is from God. We want to help you. It was so humbling. Humbling is the best word.
Extremely humbling. It's just, especially when you've been working so hard to like pay off loans and you feel like we've been doing it through God's faithfulness, but also feeling like it's, you know, we've been doing a good job. And then it's just to realize that God's generosity towards us is just so big. And everything we have comes from Him. And then for Him to just over and abundantly provide was just very humbling and awe-inspiring.
We kind of looked at each other and we were like, I remember crying, and you know, we didn't even know this couple that well. That's just how, you know, the family of God can work. I remember looking at Michael and saying something like, this is so much bigger than just like our family. Like, this is, God is writing a story and this is about Him. Mm-hmm. So then 3 more times that summer, this could be a long story, but I'll make it short. 3 more times that summer, some random person pulled one of us aside and asked us if we'd heard of embryo adoption. Like, it just was amazing. Someone in our small group, another family member, and then my mentor, who had never mentioned it before, brought it up. So I guess all that to say, we just really experienced God opening doors and leading us to this. And that gave us so much hope. You know, we didn't know it would work the first time, but it gave us so much hope that God was in this, you know, and that He was blessing the NEDC and blessing our story. So thanks for letting us share that part.
It's amazing. And it's true. Those of us who work here do see this as a ministry. And as I mentioned at the outset, your lives have just been characterized by a ministry. Naomi working for a church, helping run the elementary program when you were down in Houston, and Michael growing up really until teenage high school years as a missionary family in Turkey. This couple in particular touching your lives, ministering the encouragement and in a very practical way. My pastor had a really good definition of the kingdom of God the other week. I'd not heard it put this way before, and it's sort of saddened me that, you know, I didn't really think of it this way. But he's like, you know, how do you define the kingdom of God? And he says, the kingdom of God is Jesus bringing heaven to us in part. You know, you see a little bit of his rule and reign in this world. And then, of course, conversely, the game is that He takes us to heaven, where we'll experience His rule and reign forever. And if you think about ministry, any sort of ministry you're involved in, that's what you're doing. You're involved in this restorative, redemptive world, making little corners of it the way that more closer to the way that Jesus wants it to be through His power. And that's how we see embryo adoption. These are His tiniest image bearers. They matter. They're precious. Their lives. You are living, you see that up close because you have twin boys, and we'll talk about them here in just a second. But, I think sometimes people don't get that necessarily when they're looking at embryo adoption as an option. They think they've been through a long road of infertility, and it's understandable to just sort of have tunnel vision. We want a kid, we want a kid, we want a kid.
Right. Right.
But it's ministry. And I believe as you all learned more about it. You saw it the same way that we did, right?
Yeah, we really did. Yeah. We really felt like this was God sort of taking a no in our life, what felt like a no, and spinning it into this beautiful yes that he, it, you know, like I said, it just wasn't about us anymore. It was about these lives and this ministry that you all are doing, and the incredible, just incredible honor and picture that it is for God to bring life to these embryos, you know? So yeah, we realized it, the NEDC for us, specifically with your focus on it as adoption, that was huge for us too, with that you really honor it that way. I don't know, it felt so much bigger. And I guess what I'm trying to say, it really did feel more spiritual in a big way, that we were able to enter into other family stories, families who froze these embryos years ago, and just become like this small part of this huge puzzle that God, you know, has created, which is huge. And that really changes it from, like you said, just this agony of like, what's the next thing we can try, you know? So God just started to work in our hearts, I think, to help us see this was more than that. And that's so humbling. It's just,
and he's
so
a better author than we could ever be. He's unfolding you into this story. And before I talk about your boys, I want to give you two the chance to talk about going through the NEDC specifically. What do you, and this isn't a commercial. I'm not asking you to talk us up, but I am asking you to think what stands out about your journey with the NEDC, particularly what would you want to pass along? What would you want someone who is considering doing embryo adoption with the NEDC to know? What would be helpful before they would go through the process with us?
I was going to say, to us, it stood out because of that, because when we learned that it's not specifically an adoption by law, it's not seen that way in the US, that was really big for us, that the NEDC treats it and honors it as an adoption. Because of all parties involved, the children themselves first and foremost, and how they grow up understanding their story. That was really big for us, because we had heard a few stories of people who had purchased embryos, is what they called it, or, you know, there was a transaction, and it was really different in their experience. And so that was really attractive to us. And honestly, the NEDC just handles it so well, and really brings meaning and prayer. And I don't know, what else can we say? Everything from choosing embryos to emails back and forth with your team. It did not feel like just a medical procedure.
Yeah.
Which was really helpful, because.
Yeah. I remember thinking that when we went to the office and met everyone that we did, everyone was very warm and welcoming and clearly excited, and it definitely felt more like a mission oriented place versus just like a business, you know. It could have just been, we're a fertility clinic, help people.
You guys are not just a fertility clinic at all. It doesn't feel that way when you walk in.
No, I have no interest in being in the fertility business.
It's actually, honestly, we walked away with a whole different feeling that you all, for me, that it was a big shift for me. Our first appointment with you, I felt that you all loved us really well, but you were also on a mission to really save these children. And that is so powerful. And so all of a sudden we left, that's what I meant, feeling like part of something. And I didn't expect to feel that way. And so also I think that meant that all of a sudden our story shifted to be about our boys instead of just us. And that was something beautiful that God had to do in my heart, especially as a wannabe mom, you know, to turn it just from something that I didn't have that I wanted. So, but you all taught us that, I think, through your joy and your passion. Dr. Keenan, sitting down with him, I went back and told my mom, I wish everyone could have 10 minutes with him, because the way he honored human life and talked about his journey as a doctor and how he came was just amazing, and honestly made us just want to be part of it so badly. So anyway, that's just praise to God for your team. And
I think advice would be during the process, you end up having to go through a lot of profiles of embryos and donors. Mm-hmm. Well, donors, I guess, of the embryos. And there's like a lot of them. And so I think I had peace in fully trusting that, you know, God was in control, you know, and so that there's a sovereignty of God where, you know, he is, although we're picking donors, you know, he is putting children in our life through this, specific children. And so now I get to see their faces, and like he chose our two boys specifically to be in our family, which I just love. But I would just encourage people not to stress about that process too much. It almost kind of helped for us to like, it's hard when you realize you're like picking and like you're saying no to other ones. But it's almost like you just can't think about it too much.
Just sort of had to back up and
every single one of these embryos is precious in God's eyes. But there was a sense and we just sort of like, all right, well, I'm really tall and blonde and Naomi, you have brown hair. Let's just
start to look at some that resemble that, I want
the dad to be kind of tall, you know, just like you had to have some sort of criteria just to whittle it down a little bit.
And here's something else I'll say just in case. We didn't know this early on. We sort of discovered, we heard from later. We ended up adopting two single embryos, which in the end, we are really thankful for that opportunity, but we didn't know at the beginning how common that is. And also I think Linda had told us, or Carol, that they're actually not as likely to be adopted.
That's correct.
Sometimes you want siblings. So we can get to that maybe in a minute, but you know, we ended up picking two single embryos, which we love, and I would encourage anyone to be willing to consider that.
I love that we have two very unique looking sons. Mm-hmm. They're twins and they're fraternal, I mean, you would say, but they don't look alike, you know. It's actually kind of funny. One of them looks more like me and the other looks more like Naomi. So it's kind of neat how that worked out.
Let's talk about that, about Shiloh and Benaiah. And as we are recording this, they are just a couple weeks away from turning 1 year old. So they're almost there. They're just getting to the great fun age, which is awesome. Yeah. You have some very good years ahead of you here. So yeah, and you're right, by the way, just a little aside, you're right, singleton embryos are harder to place generally, so that in itself is a little bit of a ministry, and you can speak to that if you want. But do we know, I mean, you have to do DNA to, and I don't know this because I'm not on the lab end of it, so I'm flying a little bit blind even though I work here. Was it that one of the embryos split, or was it both boys? The two boys are from two different donors.
They are from two different donors. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
So we had a conversation with Carol about that and ended up choosing several embryos for the process. And we just really, when she emailed us and explained the situation with singles, we just both immediately felt like, yep, we want to do that. If God is blending our family, it doesn't matter to us if they look alike, you know, or not. So anyway, so we ended up actually thawing embryos from four different donor couples, which was crazy. And in the end, there was a set of two, but in the end, that's not who Shiloh and Benaiah were. So they're from two different donors. So yeah, so we're in the process now of getting DNA information back. And
yeah, we've gotten DNA information back so we actually had three embryos transferred.
We did.
And so unfortunately, one of our children is not here. So we know that we now know what profile Benaiah goes to. And so we're pretty sure we know which one Shiloh goes to, but that's still in progress
technically. Yeah, but it's just so neat. It's amazing to come full circle and think about, you know, just remember that process of, you know, working through, like you said, the lab work and all that. It's just astounding.
What was it like being pregnant with, giving birth to the boys, something you weren't sure would ever happen? And tell me what life is like with them now, how they've changed it for you.
Well, for me, it was a beautiful experience for both of us, really. I had a really smooth pregnancy, so I'm just really thankful for that.
Well, the first trimester wasn't so smooth.
Oh yeah, I was sick. I was super sick, but that's like, normal.
First trimester wasn't so beautiful.
No. I was super sick.
There was some ugliness there.
They tell me that's common with twins, especially. I remember being so sick, and I think one of the nurses, you know, when we were emailing back, and she was like, it's probably twins. And she was right. So
yeah.
Anyway,
I remember when Naomi called me and gave me the news that it was twins, and that was super exciting.
It was awesome. Yeah, we were pumped to have twins. We really were. But yeah, in general, it was a smooth pregnancy. We were really thankful that two of them survived. We did lose the third. But you know, we knew that was possible. And, so we moved partway through our pregnancy. So they were Texas babies for a couple months and then ended up being, being born here in Pennsylvania. What was it like? I mean, honestly, still every day feels like a total miracle. I'm not trying to be cliche. It's just when you are really trying to get your heart in the place of saying, okay, we may never have children. We may never have biological, and we may never have any, you know, we don't know what the Lord has for us. And then to just be given this huge gift. I mean, and I just always tell myself, decades ago, this would never be possible. You know, the work of IVF really brought this to be possible. And now the work of the NADC. And so, just really like living in a miracle all the time. It's just incredible. And just realizing that they're just such gifts. So they're a blast right now.
For me, it's like, I always knew I wanted to be a dad, and I always knew I would just adore my kids. But, I've said multiple times, like I didn't, especially just early on, I was like, I didn't know these emotions could exist. Like, I didn't know, like I always knew, of course, that I would, you know, love my kids, but this is like totally more and bigger than what I imagined it would be. I never knew I was so protective, you know? And then now it's like, looking at it, I've just grown to love our boys so, so much that I wouldn't want it any other way.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, God put Shiloh and Benaiah as our sons. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful that it took 6 years to have kids, because now they're our kids. And so it's pretty neat how God does that.
I'm sure you hear that all the time. It's like, now we can't even imagine not doing this, you know,
but it's true. And God does, he takes something that's hard and redeems it. And that's the gospel right there. And it's at the heart of really all great stories. And this is, there are gospel echoes in this, like there are in all great stories. Before we wrap it up, what do their names mean?
Oh yeah.
Well, first off, where we came up with the names, and then Naomi will give you the meaning, because she's better about the meanings. I know they're hanging in there above their cribs, but I'd probably get it confused. Benaiah is a name that I've liked for a long time. In fact, I'm reading a book now, a novel about Benaiah, which is where I learned the name. He was one of David's mighty men in the Old Testament, and there's actually a lot about him in there. And I just thought, that's really cool, and it's a unique name. And then
I ended up looking up the meaning after not liking the name Benaiah for years. Finally looked up the meaning. It means Yahweh has built, which, and then also the character in the Bible is just a really neat guy. So anyway, I love the meaning of the name, because it's just a reminder that it, you know, we didn't build this family, God did. Mm-hmm. His middle name is Luke, which means giver of light. And that's just our prayer for him. Shiloh we picked. So Benaiah was Michael's name. And so we agreed that, like, okay, I sort of got to pick a name, you know.
And we also agreed that if we went Benaiah, we couldn't go something a little normal, you know.
Couldn't be John and Benaiah, you know, had to be like another weird name, right?
So
we just went with it. So Shiloh is from the story of Hannah, which, you know, many couples going through infertility hopefully have read. And you know, in that story, Hannah and her husband go up to the city of Shiloh every year and worship there. That's where the house of God is. And so If you read the story, it just keeps saying, and they went up to Shiloh and they went up to Shiloh. And so Hannah, you know, prays for a child for years and ends up taking her son Samuel back to Shiloh, which was her promise to God. And so that's just a really powerful image to me, that she would take her son back to the Lord physically, literally, to serve in the temple. So
did you say what it means?
Oh, Shiloh means his gift. So yeah, and his middle name is Ethan, which I can't remember right now because it's four names to remember. Blanking under pressure. Anyway, yeah. So yeah. Bible names all the way. We just thought that'd be fun. So.
Yeah, and we almost didn't go with Shiloh and Benaiah. We had more normal names picked out, and then we were just like, no, we're gonna regret not giving them the names we want to give them, and so. Now they'll always, you know, have to spell their names and help people out, but you know, that's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. I think they'll be all right on that.
They'll survive.
They will. They should. Yeah, they definitely should. Have you thought about how you're going to talk to them about their arrivals into your family?
Yeah. So one thing we appreciated was the counseling that we got through the NEDC. That really encouraged, I mean, it said there's obviously it's up to us, but really encouraged the idea of being open. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we're going to really just start from a young age, telling them things that help them understand. And then as they grow older and can understand more, you know, tell them more. And then also as much sort of as they're interested.
Right.
If one of them wants to know a lot, we'll tell them a lot. If one of them is, you know,
kind of like, had enough, yeah, the basics.
So, you know,
that's kind of our, you know, I guess we'll learn as we go, but that's kind of our plan now is to just gradually be very open and honest, but,
we did
be full of hope as we tell the story, joy and hope, and not let them ever feel like this was totally a plan B or C. Right. That's important to us that they know that this was God's plan for us and for them.
Right. We did choose, so Shiloh and Benaiah, both of their donor parents had selected to be anonymous.
Right.
And so, you know, when going through the process, you have the option of choosing profiles that are anonymous or open, you know, where you have some sort of connection, communication. And so we chose anonymous. Now, really, that just means that their donor parents wanted to be anonymous. And so it's almost like it's not like we made them be anonymous. They were already chosen to be anonymous, you know, so that could be something to navigate in the future with them, you know.
Yeah, it could be.
And we were kind of told that with technology and the reality of, you know, things like 23andMe and other things, it's like if someday they're interested in looking into things, you know, we're open to helping them.
Yeah, we're definitely open to that. We want them. I think most of all, we want them to feel the freedom to do whatever they're needing to do to have peace with their story. And that's what we pray, that they'll just have peace and embrace their story. You know, we don't want to hinder that, but we also want to help them steer them in a way that understands it as really awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and the work of God.
That God very much placed them, you know, we couldn't have children and they needed parents, and God very much placed us together. And so I'm going to really focus on giving glory to God in it.
And then it's up to the Lord to solidify that or not, you know, I mean,
affirming that, you know, they are our sons and we are their mom and dad, you know, it's just an amazing story.
But yeah, but the NEDC gave us great resources and some great training. So to couples who are, you know, really concerned about that, there's definitely a lot of support.
Well, it's a great story, and you two do such a good job unpacking it. Really thankful for you joining me tonight, and I really like the way you put it. Every day is like living in a miracle. It's a really good way and a true way to think about it. So, Michael and Naomi, thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mark.
Yeah, thanks.
And if you want more information on the National Embryo Donation Center, you can go to our website, embryodonation.org, embryodonation.org. If this podcast was meaningful to you and you're a fan of the Embryo Adoption Podcast, we invite you to go ahead and rate it, review it, and subscribe to it on whichever podcast platform you find yourself listening. Go ahead and give us a five-star rating, or if you think we're not worthy of five stars and you have constructive feedback for us, that's okay. Go ahead and rate us. We promise that we'll listen. I'm Mark Mellinger. This has been the Embryo Adoption Podcast.